Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Paul Vallis joins us, candidate for mayor. Paul, thanks for giving us some of your time. I know you've been crazy busy lately. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Like, where are you now? Are you in a car rushing to another meeting? You're about to go stand in the cold and talk to people. What's your day like today?
Well, you know, they just point me in the direction I'm supposed to go in, and they give me my marching orders when I get there. But right now I'm heading to my campaign office downtown to have a Zoom meeting with the Black Chamber of Commerce.
How did you score, or what were your lasting thoughts about the Chicago Cred debate with Brandon Johnson that Laura Washington and Eric Zorn hosted yesterday?
Well, first of all, I really enjoyed the debate. And look, no finer journalist than Eric Zorn and Laura Washington. In all of those debates, I answer the questions. That's what I do. I answer the questions. I try to focus on the issues, you know, rather than to critique my opponent, who seemed to be debating the questioners rather than me. I think I answered the questions. I gave substantive answers, and I think that resonated with the people at the debate.
I wonder what it's like for somebody in that position, though, because the crowd was on his side. I think you both comported yourselves very well, and I think that in a room that wasn't necessarily hostile to you but wasn't rooting for you, it must be you had to be aware of that. That must just be a challenge.
Well, you know, certainly candidates try to pack the room. And, you know, one of the things that I do when my supporters come to my event is I ask them, it's great that you're coming, but, you know, I don't need for them to be cheering me every single time I give an answer. I invite them to come because that's part of the process. So, you know, you're going to have forums where, you know, your opponent tries to bring his own supporters in the event. There was one guy who clearly was there simply to disrupt me whenever I tried to provide an answer. And that's going to happen. You're used to it. I've done, my God, 40 forums, either individually or as part of the candidates forum. So I'm kind of used to that. And you just try to plow through and you try to answer the questions to the best of your ability.
Paul, one of our listeners texted in after we talked a little bit about the debate earlier today with Eric Zorn. And we just talked about your answers and Brandon's as well. But one of our listeners said, maybe you should own the handcuffs off the police line. You're obviously already very pro-police, and you've got very specific ideas about empowering the police to do a better job of making Chicago safe. Run with that. Don't run from it. What's your reaction to that listener?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm not running from it. I have talked about proactive policing. You know, I didn't recall if I had actually said take the handcuffs off, and I may very well have said it. I just wanted to point out what taking the handcuffs off the police means. And proactive policing is not mass arrest. Proactive policing is not violating the consent decree. I mean, proactive policing is allowing the police department to go out there and to arrest people when they are committing crimes. That's what it is. Because clearly, you know, you want to be sensitive to the words that you use, because there are obviously many people might view that as perhaps too aggressive a phrase to use. But what I wanted to do was really define what I meant. I believe that we need proactive policing. That means I believe that we need beat cops on the beat who can respond to a 911 call in minutes rather than hours, and on the CTA platforms and stations who arrest people when they commit crimes, whether it's vandalism, destroying public or private property, assaulting, etc. That's proactive policing. That is not unconstitutional policing.
I wonder where you're going to get those police. Brandon Johnson says, well, let's divert police from one area to areas where they're more needed and then find people that will handle some of those domestic issues that might be handled by trained interventionists or counselors, but let's not have the police answer calls that maybe they don't have to be responding to. To each of you, I would say, where do you get the manpower that you're going to need?
Well, let me point out, clearly, Brandon has never run anything in his life. When I was city budget director, we actually increased the rank and file police officer numbers from, I think it was about 11,000 500 or 11,600 to 13,500 when we pushed our community policing initiative, which did what I was describing in terms of the restoration of beat integrity. And there was a dramatic decline in murders and violent crime.
How do you do it now? Well, but how do you do it now, Paul?
So this is how you do it. The first order of business is if you have the right leadership, you have the right strategy, and you support the police, you're going to slow the exodus that has seen us lose 1,000 officers a year. In a normal year, pre-2019, we lost 300 officers a year. And if you do that and you double the number run double classes at the police academy, you can quickly begin to build the ranks. The second thing is, if you have the right leadership, if you have the right strategy, if you're supporting the police, there are hundreds and hundreds of police officers who have retired and who have left the police district and gone to other police districts who will, in fact, return. I know that because I've been immersed in city police contract negotiations. So there's no reason why you can't significantly slow the exodus of officers, double the classes that you're running, and invite officers to return without penalty, without loss of seniority. And that's been done before. I have done that before, and I'm confident we're going to be able to increase the ranks. One more thing you need to do, too, I said, is you need to push the officers down to the local districts, because right now, even with the shortage, there are only 53% of the officers are actually in the local districts. So you've not only got to increase the ranks, you've got to push the officers down to the local districts, to the CTA platforms, to the CTA stations.
Seems to me like if crime in Chicago were a fire, you're the fire department. You are there to put it out right now. But one thing that I think would be of great interest to all of us is also, how do we prevent the next fire from starting? And it seems like Brandon Johnson spends more time talking about crime prevention programs that will actually better the lives of people so they don't turn to crime. What do you say about that?
Well, John, he never offers any specifics. Where I've articulated a strategy on how to take the Mayor's Southwest Initiative to scale, how to institutionalize it, and how to expand it to get at the underlying causes of crime, community disinvestment, et cetera, in the first place. I've also talked about how opening the schools through the dinner hour on weekends, over the holidays, over the summer, and inviting community-based organizations, faith-based, park district organizations into the schools, creating work-study opportunities, can keep hundreds of thousands of kids off the street in safe and secure environments. And I've also talked at length about how taking advantage of both state and federal money that is there to help individuals who are returning from incarceration, returning citizens, get occupational training opportunities and to find housing and to be able to overcome obstacles to hiring, how we can get at that population.
I got it. All right, we have less than a minute left, and I want you to respond to two other things. Brandon says it takes 2 years to train police. You just can't flip the switch. Is that true? 2 years to train police.
First of all, it doesn't take 2 years to train police. Secondly, you can run double classes rather than a single class. And remember, when you're losing 1,000 officers a year, you're not going to catch up. If you have the right leadership, you have the right strategy, you are supporting the police, then you don't have 1,000 leaving a year. You have 300 leaving a year, so that when you're graduating with two shifts, 700 a year from the academy, you can make up for lost time.
What are your thoughts about the unfunded pension nightmare?
Well, first of all, when I left the school system, the Chicago public school system, pensions were 100% funded. It's not until 7-8 years later that the state enacted a pension holiday. Incidentally, I was in New Orleans rebuilding schools after Katrina then. That not only hurt the Chicago systems, but also hurt the state system. So Brandon seems to blame me for everything from the Kennedy assassination to the sinking of the Lusitania. And he offers no specifics. you know, let's remember that Brandon has not only never run anything, but this is a guy who is still on the payroll as a lobbyist for the Chicago Teachers Union. And so at the end of the day, he's not running on the issues. He's trying to divert
attention. He reminds us that he won't be if he's elected, and he would just as surely as you would maybe contract fairly for the city with the police, he would contract appropriately with the teachers. You both have those affiliations adjacent to you.
Well, let me offer a contract. Let me offer a contrast. When I negotiated the city contract with the FOP, which incidentally kept 2,500 police officers from retiring, they were not going to wait a fifth year without getting a pay raise, and it included all the accountability provisions. I did it for free. Brandon's been a paid organizer for the teachers union for 10 years. Secondly, when I accepted the FOP endorsement, and I've been endorsed by 14 labor unions,
yeah,
I refused to take any campaign contributions. The CTU has raised close to $2 million for Brandon. So you tell me who's going to be beholden.
By the way, were you in Dallas in November?
I was in Dallas, but it was, I think, about 16, 17 years later.
All right.
And
cleared.
I just want to be clear about that, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm glad we came. At least I can say I got something resolved on my show. Paul, thank you for visiting with us. Good luck in the campaign.
My pleasure.
Paul Vallis.